Good evening, Patriots. Time for our public service announcement on Saturday night. And here it goes. So, public service announcement number one. Tonight's, I will make number one MyPillow. And we'll make MyPillow because I'm going to tell you something. I know for a fact that Mike Lindell is trying to raise as much money as possible through his companies so that he can help save the world. And he's being led by God to do it. And I'm not exaggerating in any way. And all of us know right now that the world is at stake. And so we need to support his company as much as possible. And in the process, he's supporting patriots like crazy. Okay, keep in mind that with all the great work that Bard's Patriots are doing, and BDAD Patriots, and all the other people out there using the Bard's code, Mike Lindell's company has already contributed over $40,000 to Bard's Fest. And Mike's going to speak there. So we need you to get on over there to MyPillow. Use the Bard's code, B-A-R-D-S. And get yourself a pair of My Slippers, get a My Pillow, get some My Sheets, get a My Bed, whatever else you're going to do. And so you go to MyPillow.com, you use the Bard's code, B-A-R-D-S. If you feel like talking to a real person, then you just get over to, you dial 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939, and you get a person and you tell them that you want to use your promo code Bard's, and you tell them that you heard about them from the greatest podcast on the globe, which is Bard's FM, and away you go. So let's give him as much support as we want. We want to see a million slippers, My Slippers, sold by Bard's Fest. I know you hear me say that all the time, and people are like rolling their eyes. I'm really not kidding. We have got to fire it up. So spread that Bard's code everywhere so people use that promo code, okay? And we're going to help one of the greatest CEOs in the country, a great American patriot, and a person who walks with Christ in their heart. I can't think of a better arrangement. Public service announcement number two. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's program is going on today. Not today, next weekend. And that program is the 20 Mechanisms of Injury webinar with Dr. Tenpenny. Well, here's another little twist that came in today. When you sign up, you can click a little box, I guess. I guess that's how it's working. Anyway, you can choose to donate to Bard's Fest, and it, with the sign-up fee, they're going to donate $21 to Bard's Fest. So go on over there, sign up for that great program, get yourself armed with knowledge. She's going to get into some really interesting things on this particular show, on that particular seminar. You're going to get into, I guess, some of the latest developments, and it's going to really be pretty cutting edge. And the third public service announcement is Bard's Fest. And tickets are on sale, if you don't know. They are on sale for the Family Arena. There's two events, and it's just getting warmed up. But I will tell you, it is really getting warmed up because it was on two different programs today, announced and promoted, so big programs. One of them, I believe, was Mike Lindell's program. So you want to get your tickets for Family Arena, and then we'll see about the next week. We're going to be doing tickets for the drive-in, and there's two different venues. You're not going to miss out on anything in either event. Go to the new, great, very super cool, very awesome website, bardsfm.com. Check that out. It's fantastic. I love the website. I really do. I'm a little biased maybe because it's our own, but if I didn't like it, I wouldn't be bragging about it, and I really do. But here's kind of testimony to itself. This website went live on Friday morning, so that means it's not even indexed yet in the Google search engines. And on a holiday, Saturday, on a holiday, we had well over 1,000 views on that website today. It's incredible. People are flocking, so thank you very much. So if you go over to bardsfm.com/bardsfest, or you can see the icon, it's right there. It says, hey, Bard's Fest. Click on that. You can click on the buy button, and it'll take you right to Ticketmaster to buy the tickets for Family Arena. And that's going to be, it's per day cost, and you'll have tickets for Monday or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And then we're going to have same tickets, not same tickets, but tickets as well available for the outdoor festivals It's going to be awesome, really incredible. So head on over there, get some tickets, get ready to rock and roll because it's going to be amazing. We're going to have speakers. We're going to have bands. And the outdoor venue is going to be equally fantastic. So we've got a lot of work to do on that in the next coming weeks. We've got an amazing team that's coming together to do that. We're working hard and pushing hard. So just incredible. It's really an amazing time. So you need to be at Bard's Fest. Pretty simple. It's going to be the greatest revival in American history. And I will almost guarantee you it will be the greatest and largest revival in the history of humankind. And I can say that confidently because I know how many people are going to be there. And because of digital technology, we can reach the millions around the world because it will be live streamed. And because of all that, I can guarantee you that God will be able to touch more people than any time in history. Now, that said, I want to be very clear. We are the stewards and shepherds of this. This is God's event. God's guiding us in every single thing we do. And I am not exaggerating, and I'm telling you, it is getting big. And God wants it that way, and we're following his lead. So we want you there. You want to be there. You're never going to be around more God-fearing, Christ-loving patriots in your life. And it's going to be a celebration of God's love and Christ in our heart and the praying and the singing and just the fellowship that we're going to have. So be prepared. St. Charles, Missouri. 26th to the 29th of August, Bard's Fest. Be there. It's awesome. You know, in the time that we live, I think every one of us can agree that these are kind of some weird times. We have to really be wary of the dark forces because they lurk everywhere. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Being in a unison with God and in prayer at all times has probably never been more important than right now. And working through that process of constantly being in a state of prayer and relationship with God is essential. This is an enemy that has shown his true colors, and it's an enemy that is as dark and as evil as anything we've ever imagined. It's an enemy that not only is willing to and desires to maim or destroy or kill like 80-90% of the population on the face of the earth. Their actual number that they want is less than 1 billion people. But this is an enemy that enjoys watching, enjoys devouring, enjoys experiencing the suffering, the pain, the misery of others. I can't think of anything more sick. They find joy. They find pleasure. And more than joy, they find pleasure in watching other people suffer. As people take this injection, they find pleasure in knowing that, and every report that comes out of someone that's suffering, they take pleasure in that. It's not just a destruction. It's not just a war. These are psychopaths. By our standards, they're the darkest of evil that anyone has ever known. And they are in taking that joy. So this is a place where we have to truly do as James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What the enemy is counting on is that there will be many people that will suffer death or suffer pain and basically permanent injury to their bodies. And they'll be able to fan that flame of fear so that more and more people rush to their injection. What the enemy is counting on is an absolute suffering across all of humankind, and it's going to give them an enormous amount of power and an enormous amount of pleasure because this is like a food to them. In some circles, they refer to this as loosh, and it's the suffering and it's the energy of pain that they really quite literally feed on. It's a sickness like you can't imagine. I'd say most of us can't imagine. So this is something that we are a world that we are walking into. The sad part about it is that it's a world that was done by people's free will, not by any of us, not because they took their hand over us or forced us. And it's one thing if you're invaded and your enemy then starts to do its thing because they conquer you and they hunt you and that sort of thing. These people are master predators. They're the sort of predators that seek out and twist and turn, and they feed on the weakness of people. And people are weak for the large part. And the people that have no God in their heart are even weaker. And when you have no Christ in your life, you're even weaker. So what ends up happening is that people submit. And when they do, it's just, I used this analogy the other night. It's like a cat plays with a mouse. The mouse is alive, but it's been pithed by their claw. Mouse can hardly move because it's been stuck right in its spinal column. And it's alive, but the cat plays with that mouse for a day or two, drags it around, smacks it around, knows that it's alive, and the cat gets an exhilaration out of this. That's the type of people we're dealing with. And so we have to have great discernment when we're walking around, and we have to have great discernment in our lives. And one of the things we also have to do is we have to build our sanctuaries. So between discernment and sanctuary, it's essential. Our sanctuaries are our homes, and they're protected spaces if we set about doing that. And that means that at the center of a home needs to be a Bible. As a practice in the home, there needs to be prayer. There needs to be the praising of the Lord in our homes. Some people go on to say things, they go on to anoint and they do other things, and that's fine too, whatever you feel necessary. But this is a time when our homes have to be reinforced. You have to get a hedge of protection around your homes. You have to build that strength of God within your home. And that means also how we live and how we walk. So it's not enough just to pray. We have to walk that space within Christ and be there. And that is our place where it's truly, we are constantly working to elevate up that power and love within Christ and the love of God within our homes. When we lie, when we do blasphemous things in our home, we're opening the door for the enemy to enter. The enemy just needs a crack. Just a crack. And it doesn't have to be a very big one because it's going to be a tiny crack. It can be a momentary aspect of anger or lashing out of being angry. When we're constantly in relationship with God in our conversations, even when we're engaging people, we're running that connection with God. We should feel like it's a tether. We're protected in those moments at all times, and we're able to keep a balance between God. Even when we start to veer off a little bit, God's going to pull us back. And God will guide us. If we trust in God, God will guide us in everything. And that's part of how we have to learn to live. It's a new way of existing. We don't get to run around and spin around town and do what we want to do and then come back home and throw up our feet and go, okay, shields up. God activated. I'm safe. Greg, give me a beer. That's not the way it's going to work. Might be nice. Get your little God app out and go, okay, God, I need Operation Shields Up. Click. Go down to the next menu option. I need automatic beer. Click. Go down to the next menu option. I need hedge of protection. I want to take that up to level 10. Click. Hedge of protection on. Go down to the next one. Okay, let's see. Yeah, I think, God, I'm going to put you on an active offensive surveillance tonight. Click. And I need automatic cleansing of the home. Click. Okay, execute. That is not the way it works. It might sound cool. It's like right out of a video game. This is a process where our life has to be a constant conversation with God. And in that process, we're going to live into this new world and live in a very profound way with God as things begin to slide. Now, I wrote this today, and I'm just going to say that I was compelled to write this today after a lot of prayer, and you can take this for what it is. You know how I am. I'm very careful. You won't hear me say things like, God told me. I just know that I was compelled to write this today. And I know that I was compelled to write it after I'd been having a long station of prayer and kind of an active prayer too, because I was having a fantastic day in the garden today. I dug a new bed completely. I've got another one ready to finish tomorrow and one more. So that'll mean that over the last couple of weeks, I've added 6 new beds to the garden, big ones, 3 feet by 25 feet. And when I'm through with this model, which you'll see pictures of it at Bard's Fest, by the way, and when I get through with it, it's going to be a miraculous thing. It's going to be that my house should be about 60 to 70% self-sufficient on just a standard way of living. It's what I call urban homesteading. And so that means that when things really get tightened down and squeezed, the home will need nothing. By the time I'm through, hopefully by the end of winter, it won't need electricity because there'll be solar. It won't need electrical heat because we'll have wood heat as well, or gas. We'll have gas as a backup, not as a primary. The garden will provide most of the food that we need. And there's even water reclamation being set up on the property so that we can retrieve the water from when it rains. So that's an urban homestead. That's not a farm. So I'll show some pictures of it. And it's important to understand that because that's how we have to live, okay? That's a whole nother story. And I think I'll talk about some of that tomorrow. But as I was digging today and having my conversations with God, this is what I took a break to write. The world is now divided, a bifurcated world. Those that live in the world will die in the world. Those that have accepted Christ and through Christ to the Father and thus live of the world will remain safe and will continue to live far beyond what we see or know. We must choose which narrative we will follow. And those last words, I think, are profound. And I think they're blessed words that I wrote today, is what I believe. Because we are in a place of following narratives. Do we want to follow the narrative of God? As in James 4:7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Do we want to live that narrative? Or do we want to live the narrative of submit yourself to the darkness and resist the calls of God and God will let you be? We are in a juncture. It is quite frankly that simple. And with that, there is going to be just unbelievable forces trying to pull everyone that is a believer in Christ into the pit of hell. It's not going to make the walk easy, but as long as we're true in our belief, as long as we hold that line with our belief and love in Christ and God, don't give in, we don't bow. I truly do believe what I wrote today, which is that we will continue to be safe and we will live far beyond what we see or know. But it's all about the narrative. And it's a narrative whether we want to live a narrative of in the threats and the fear and the scarcities, or whether we want to live in the world of prosperity and love and unlimited potential. And that's a choice that we can make. And it is a choice that's before us every day. And it's a choice that we have to continue to make and probably the rest of our lives. Evil will try, as 1 Peter 5:8 points out very clearly. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The evil will not stop trying to devour you. Even if you can claim protection, or even if you can claim some form of victory, whatever that looks like, evil is still going to try to lurk around and consume you. And to be sober-minded, I think, is more than just being calm and focused. I think that's the intent. But I think sober-minded is also to avoid falling under the many influences of the devil's hand. Sober-mindedness not only is the temptations of things like alcohol, drugs, other influencers to distort your view of the world, LSD, heroin. I say LSD because it's on the rise in Silicon Valley. They're doing microdosing of LSD to try to stimulate their creative. True story. People that smoke a lot of pot, you're not being sober-minded. I have a lot of respect for what that plant brings in medicinal purposes. Let me be very clear. I don't have any respect for people that use it. It's just a way to get high. It's just an escapism. So being sober-minded is part of that. It's a responsibility. It's a duty that we have in our walk with God. And that's part of the choices that we have to make now, is where do we want to be? In addition to being sober-minded, whether you're going to succumb to the narcotics of fear, anxiety, anger, hatred, revenge. Those are narcotic emotions because of what they do inside your brain chemistry. They stir you to want more of them. It has to do with the dopamine and adrenaline connection within your brain chemistry. And then there's this also little thing about serotonin that kicks in there too. So you get all sorts of these brain chemicals going like crazy when you start to amp up your fear, your anger, your hatred, your vengeance, your anxieties of all fashions. And the more that you do it, which they are masterful at trying to stimulate it in you, and the more that you accept that offer of them to stimulate your brain chemistry, the more that you seek it out because you need that fix. And your brain becomes its own enemy against you, its own weapon, because it's seeking to get the fix of the drugs that are pumping from your own body. So being sober-minded is a huge statement. And to be sober-minded, we have to walk, to live sober-minded, we have to walk truly within the body of Christ. To have absolute strength in that walk, to walk as Christ did. And that's part of that conversation that you're having constantly through prayer. And we have to walk fearlessly under God's umbrella, knowing and trusting in God fully for all that he will deliver. Those are choices. They're not things that are just given. And it's a discipline to make that happen. I hear many times from men, well, I have an anger issue. I don't like to engage people. My response, well, I guess I should say I have two responses. One, I usually go, okay, hopefully you can fix it, because I'm not looking for confrontation when people do that. But my prayer response is like this: please give them strength to overcome themselves. Because really what they're just described is a massive weakness. When someone says that, they're weak. And they're weak in their relationship with Christ and God. That's where they're weak. Because they're afraid of confronting someone because they don't trust themselves. But they're not supposed to trust themselves. We're supposed to trust in God. And God will guide us. So all of this has relevance on this Independence Weekend. It's a sobering time right now. It should be for all of us. It shouldn't be a time of massive celebration with lots of fireworks, and there'll be some of that. But the real issue is where we sit as a nation and where we sit in our homes. The country is going to reset itself one way or the other. It is a bifurcated world. And actually, to add to that sort of inspiration to write this morning, there would be something else I would add that I wrote on another piece, which is that we are already divided and bifurcated. The question is, are you willing to accept the way out, which is through the love of Christ? And are you willing to hold that at all costs? And that means we have to walk as disciples of Christ, not just walk and saying that I have accepted Christ. There's a huge difference. To walk as a disciple of Christ, you will have to be willing to give everything, including your life, for that love and walk within the body of Christ. That means you're going to, through the love of Christ and through your respect of God, you are going to give an oath of sorts. It's your sacred honor, no matter the cost of your life, your fortunes, to ensure that God and the love of Christ return to this earth. And I have done just that. And that is my commitment. And that is the walk I'll take. And I choose to take. And it's a walk I choose to take as I am. Getting stronger each and every day in that breath and connection with Christ and through Christ to the Father. And it's that focus we're all going to be faced with at some point or another. These things aren't given. We have to work for them. We have to discipline ourselves into them. But when we make those commitments, we have to accept those consequences of what they bring. When we say, Father, send me, it means send me. It doesn't mean send me on these conditions. And there's no conditionals on any of those things. You might not like where you go, but you have to trust that where you go, Father's intending. The voices that speak the loudest right now are increasingly on the radar of the enemy. And behind them are the other voices that are beginning to rise. The voices that speak the loudest right now are being targeted. Things are being maneuvered to try to remove them in such a way that hopefully they can never speak again. But they're not going to be so clumsy as to turn people into martyrs. They're going to do things more strategically. They're going to accuse them of things, trying to find some dirt on them, and trying to use the headlines and the newspapers and the media to smear them, even if it's a blatant lie. And what typically happens, as it always happens, is you can take anybody's following, no matter who they are, and there'll be a group of patriots that, as long as everything is good and copacetic, they will follow. But typically when these smear campaigns begin, at least half of the people fall to their knees and pray to the media and say, thank you for telling me the truth. Because people are weak and their discernment sucks, even at this point in time. And that's all because the relationship with Christ and through Christ to the Father has never been strong. The stronger that we become, the more that they will target the loudest voices, and then they will target the other voices that rise. Because we are a true and existential threat. And the threat that we are is a threat to their very existence, because truth reveals who they are and they are forced into the light. The real demonstration of patriots is when patriots can have the ability to stand strong, put their full life into the arms of God, have total faith of where things are going, and walk in that sense of discipleship that no matter what happens, you never give in, you never waver. Probably one of the greatest models of that is Paul. But evil is watching. Evil is lurking. And it's very active and persistent. It doesn't sleep. It doesn't rest. It only continues to maneuver and try to find a way in. So in that sense, the only way forward in the end is Ephesians 6:10 to 18. And this isn't just a daily thing. This has to be a constant thing. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Let us never forget that in the darkest of moments, that the most powerful thing we can do is to speak the word of God. And right there, the devil will flee, enemies will bow, and we are safe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for the protection of all the patriots. We pray for the protection of their families. We pray for the hedges of protection around their homes, around their children, and around their voices of freedom, liberty, and truth. Lord, in such a time as this, we know that the enemy is lurking at all times. The enemy seeks to distort. The enemy seeks to find weakness and vulnerability. The enemy seeks to divide. The enemy seeks to deceive. Lord, we pray for discernment. We pray for light to expose the enemy for what it is. And we pray for the truth to rise in people's hearts. Lord, in this fight that we face, let us be strong no matter what strikes us. Let us not waver nor be deceived by the enemy's lies. But instead, let us know that the enemy will lie. Let us see clearly in those moments to know the difference between what is said and what is true. And as we march forward, Lord, let us find the strength and the truth between us and to use the tools of deception and division and deceit that the enemy throws at us as means to strengthen our resolve and to strike back with ferocity, clarity, and force in such a way that the enemy is forced to bow to you and submit to you in all things. Guide us and protect us. Lead us, direct us. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. Patriots, I hope that you have a very blessed Independence Weekend. A Liberty Weekend is what this is. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which are our unalienable rights given to us by God and guaranteed to us in the Declaration of Independence. Let us never forget that. That many, many lives have been lost trying to preserve those words and those concepts. And more than ever now, it is our time to give homage to all those that passed and have the resolve to step into the future, to be unwavering and committed to the only thing important, which is the reclaiming of this nation, the returning to this nation as a God-loving, God-fearing nation, with Christ in our heart and God at our feet and back. And to rise up and to reset this nation truly on the foundation, not only of in God we trust, but as a power given to us as we the people to choose its destiny. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Prayers, patriots, are where this fight begins, on our knees. And then as we stand, we aren't just standing stationary. We're standing for the values and the love of God that we hold in our heart. That means we press in. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will win. And if we follow his lead, we will be right there with him. So have a very blessed evening. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. Safe. to hide from the rain.